are listening to WWBC Coco, Merritt Island, 1510 AM, as well as W234BI Coco, Rockledge, 94.7 FM, W264AS, Rockledge, Melbourne, Palm Bay, Indian Atlantic, Indian Harbor Beach, Satellite Beach, 100.7 FM, and W260CL, Coco, 99.9 FM.
Hello, space and treasure coast. This is Sita Begee on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends right here on AM 1510 WWBC, FM 94.7, 99.9 and 100.7. We are also heard on the World Wide Web. And Paul, I'm going to ask you to give that right now because Miss Ellen is off.
I will be glad to. We are heard on the web on 1510 WWBC.com. And the on-demand, which has been broken all weekend, we just got it fixed this morning, thank God. On-demand, if you want to hear this program later, you can go to 1510wwbc.com, click on the button that says on-demand, and you'll find some 3 years' worth of programs on there.
But it's
very
easy.
We had some failure, hard drive failure over the weekend, and so we lost everything from Friday to this morning, but working now.
And you do have a backup CD.
So a backup CD is running, and 94.7 here, Central Brevard County, 99.9 in the north, and 100.7 Harlock Road, Melbourne, and all points south.
And thank you for the ads, for taping our ads for all our great sponsors. I really appreciate
it. Oh, my pleasure. We're going to hear
from
them.
With your radio voice.
We will hear from them a little bit later.
On Mondays, Samantha Nazario is here with me. She's helping me with social media and also co-hosting when Ellen is here, and she's not here as well. So welcome.
Thank you. Ellen, missed you
and
guys.
Ellen O'Neill is off. And we have a really good show today. My friend, Dr. Anthony Davis, is here, and he's going to be on the second segment talking about the work he's doing with his ministry right here in Brevard County, Florida. We'll talk a little bit with him about police reform, the pandemic, COVID-19. He also worked in the pharmaceutical industry, so he has a lot of knowledge and experience about a lot of stuff. So he'll be talking. And then our first segment, we have Aging Matters. They were on the show when I first started Viewpoint with Sita and Friends. And so today we have Allison Almasian.
Yes, you're right.
I said it correct. She's here with Paula Schroeder. And Paula is a grant writer for the Brevard Senior Nutrition Program. She's also known as Meals on Wheels. And Allison is the Director of Home and Community-Based Servicing at Aging Matters of Brevard. So welcome to our show.
Thank you for having us.
And we all know that right now with the pandemic, it's crucial to have the services that Aging Matters have right here in Brevard County, Florida. So I'm going to start off with you first, Allie. And tell us a little bit about yourself and how did you get involved with Aging Matters?
So I have been a social worker for over 20 years and have worked in Brevard community for a little over 15. I have worked with seniors for quite some time and always have devoted my time to enjoying the time with seniors and working with my grandparents and enjoying their stories. So when I came to Aging Matters, I was, a social worker out in the community and had always kind of referred people to Aging Matters and realized that they have such a plethora of resources in helping our seniors in Brevard County. So I wanted to be part of that. I really wanted to be part of helping the seniors and staying in their homes. So I've been very welcomed at Aging Matters for the past 3 years and have joined every minute of being there.
Nice. And Paula, you've been there for a while.
Well, I came to Aging Matters in 2015.
Yes.
And I've been in Florida since 1998 and done a bunch of different things. Started out as a owner-manager of a daycare down in Palm Bay. We had a Head Start program. So worked with a lot of family challenges, shall we say, in that arena. Loved it. It was totally exhausting.
Yeah. Well, you know, one of the things I learned really quickly when I immigrated to the United States, gosh, I have to say 100 years ago. No. I get it for the last 40-something years, is there is such a cultural change when you immigrate, because a lot of cultures, the elderly is respected for their wisdom, their knowledge, their mistakes, because they try to give that to the young people and teach them. But in America, I was, you know, at first I was like, oh my gosh, all these nursing homes, all these ALFs, you know, things like that. But then I realized that there were agencies to help people to stay at home, to live their lives and be active. But also, it's sort of like some people do not want to go into a nursing home. They would prefer to have the services come to them. And that's one of the things Aging Matters does. So I'll ask Allie, who do you guys serve?
So we serve anyone over the age of 60, really. So seniors who are living in their homes and are homebound. So we help the seniors with a lot of different services, in-home companionship, our personal care, our homemaking. We really kind of want to make sure that they stay safe in their home and have the tools and necessities to be able to age appropriately.
Yeah. Age in place.
Yes.
Yeah, you know, comfortably.
We have all these things that say shelter in place. Now we say age in place, yep. Right? Yep. And so Paula, how do you determine who qualifies for the services or not?
It really depends on which service. I'm most familiar with Meals on Wheels, which mm-hmm. helps. It delivers a hot meal every day to a homebound person. And for that particular service, like Allie said, are you over the age of 60? But one of the critical factors is, do you drive? And if you're still driving, you can't qualify for that, because we really have to focus on those seniors who are truly homebound, just because the demand is so great. You know, we're serving 900 people a day, and we've got a waiting list of several hundred. So that's really the critical thing. And then we have it's like a ranking program for nutritional needs. We have some people that truly are on the verge of malnutrition. If they didn't get some decent food to eat every day, they would have multiple health problems. And risk of falling is so much greater if you don't have good nutrition. So
it's a blessing to have a warm meal.
Oh my goodness.
At your door. Do you do it like once a day or three times a day? Or
once a day, mm-hmm. 5 days a week. So we do not deliver on the weekends, because we rely on volunteers.
Yes.
We've got 600 volunteers that are out delivering meals every week. You know, most of our drivers drive one day a week, and they deliver to the same people every time. So they build up a relationship. And that's why in this program, we call it More Than a Meal, because that personal contact, somebody coming to your door and saying hello and seeing you every day, is almost as important, maybe just as important as that.
They become
nutrition.
Family.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
They really do. And then they're like the eyes and ears,
yes,
to bring back information for you guys at the center, you know, at the...
And it might be the only person that they see.
Absolutely.
Yes.
A lot of the time. Ladies, is there a cost for your services?
So for our home and community-based services, for the in-home services, we get different state and federal grants, and I'm sure we'll get through that at some point. But we do have private pay. We for the in-home care, the personal care, and the companion, and the respite, and homemaking services. And that can range anywhere between $18 to $20 an hour, depending mm-hmm. on the need and depending on how many hours it is. Usually it's a minimum of 2 hours. But we also do, like I said, get different state and federal grants. So there may be no cost at all, but there may also be a nominal copay, which is usually about 1% to 3% of their monthly income, you know, their Social Security.
So people
income.
Shouldn't be afraid to put in an application or to call.
Absolutely.
Because the most can happen, they could say no, right?
Right.
So what is the phone number if somebody wanted to call and sign up, and do they get the service immediately? How does that work?
So the best thing to do is to call 321-639-8770, and they can also go to www.agingmattersbrevard.org, and you can go through and input some information onto the info website or info email, and go through, we'll have an intake specialist reach out to you, and they'll complete a screening. So all of our services, between the meals and the in-home, you go through a screening process, and you're really triaged with other seniors and caregivers throughout Brevard County. and you'll go on this wait list, and it's dependent on their need, abilities, and inabilities, really.
Right. Are you guys still on 520?
We are.
That beautiful building on the right.
Yes.
Yeah, I remember. That's been there for a while.
Just east of 95. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
those are administrative offices, and I want to emphasize that we do serve people throughout the county, and we have, particularly if we're always looking for volunteers, you don't have to come to Coco to pick up the food. It's all prepared here at our Brevard Community Kitchen. But we have pickup sites, a distribution sites we call them, in Titusville, Coco, Coco Beach, Melbourne, Palm Bay, Miko, Port St. John, so that the drivers, you know, don't have to drive up from Palm Bay to Coco. Yeah.
But you offer a lot more other services besides Meals on Wheels.
Oh, absolutely.
So tell all the listeners things on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends, what other services are offered by Aging Matters of Brevard?
Absolutely. So we do. We have a wonderful caregiver resource center, which is based in the Merritt Square Mall in Merritt Island. We help caregivers offer different services and resources for caregivers throughout Brevard County. It's appointment at this point, so it's in the Merritt Square Mall, like I mentioned. Mm-hmm. We also have transportation, so we have a senior transerve and a Vets Driving Vets, where anyone over the age of 60 can get some transportation to and from doctor's appointments and those essential transportation needs that they have, grocery shopping and getting out to other appointments that they may need to
get to.
Going to
get your hair done.
Yeah.
You know, for honestly, for non-driving seniors, and they can't get out. Yeah. They need to rely on neighbors, you know, some people have family members that will take them. But this is another, it's a volunteer-based service, so it really depends on where we have volunteers.
Right, right. Yeah.
But transportation is really, really critical, and just getting people out into the community.
Yeah, and there's such a need for this service in Brevard. Mm-hmm. You know what? I always wonder, why, I know you guys market it a lot, and you talk about it, and we spread the word, and other people spread the word, but do you know how many people don't know that you offer all these services? Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Like, I'm amazed, because I work in a nursing home. I've always worked in skilled rehab and nursing facilities. And a lot of the family members, when I tell them about Aging Matters, they're like, I didn't know they offered all of that. Yes. And then I'll say to them, well, it is based on your need and payment and things like that. And they'll be like, well, I had no idea. And I know you do. I've seen you at a lot of fairs and elder things, you know, senior fairs.
But, you know, Sita, that is one of the things that is so important for people to realize. Even, you know, people who are perfectly healthy and they're, you know, just doing their life and they're going out and about. We all age. We all are going to get there someday. So thinking about it ahead of time, I can't tell you how important it is. Mm-hmm. Allie gets calls all the time. And we do as well in the nutrition office, from people that, you know, I can't get out of the house anymore. I need to have meals delivered. And they expect they're just going to sign up and get it the next day. It doesn't work like that.
Right.
Because the demand is so high.
Right.
And if you know that, well, gee, you know, I'm 82 years old and I'm really not as spry as I used to be, maybe I should at least try to figure out what the resources are in the community.
Or even if you're scheduled for surgery, call Aging Matters before and plan and prep the meals and everything so that you give them some time to get the volunteer on that route. Because, you know, thank God now we have the maps and we have, you know, people can get their phones out and in a minute they can be there. But before you had Google Maps and all that, I don't know how people figured it out. Mm-hmm. You know, you had to go all the way to Mims, come back to Coco, go to Melbourne, go to Titusville.
You had to try to read and print and drive at the same time.
Yeah.
I have a question that I have here for you ladies. Does your website translate to any other languages?
So
I ask because I get calls from the
and it's so
community.
Important. I think that we, no, the answer is no. And I think that we really are in that point now, especially in South Palm Bay, but also,
Melbourne,
and not just Palm
Vieira.
Bay, but, and in Coco, I just learned this myself, you know, 6 months ago, the big Hispanic community in Coco. Well, and so we
I know
need to be
as
able
a Hispanic
to do that.
we're very stubborn as far as reaching out for
help. Yes,
but
you are.
But now that I know you ladies are there, I've received various phone calls from people in the community. And now that I know that you ladies are there, I'll be more than happy to help translate or walk them through an application now that I know your services are there. But I will offer myself, like I always do, as Zita knows. If you ladies need my help with anything, I'm more than happy to help
you. Oh, thank you.
You know, unfortunately, we do have some Spanish-speaking staff on board, so they can help. And they've helped me in the home care program. You know, we've had some in the Meals on Wheels, and they've helped me help translate to be able to get, you know, a scheduled assessment done or get that intake services done. So we've got some amazing staff who do help out.
They pitch in when they need to, right?
They do.
Well, you know, and you know what it is, too? You are a volunteer-based organization as well. So if we have any Hispanics who are listening, or Indians, or African-Americans, or like they like to say, Latinos, Caribbean, anybody. I mean, you don't have to. It's just an hour a month, a couple hours a month. Just call Aging Matters in Brevard and try to volunteer.
Can I just tell you, we're just starting a pilot program, too, for, we're calling them executive routes, because we do deliver over the noon hour during the weekday. So a lot of people who are working want to volunteer, but, you know, they just can't.
Yeah.
Well, we're creating this specifically for companies that want to say, okay, we're going to give our volunteers or our employees some time. But we will design a route specifically for that organization, that business.
Close to their job site.
So it's right close to them. So it will only take half an hour to 45 minutes. Yes.
So what are some of the needs you see in the community besides people being hungry, besides people needing transportation? There has to be other needs with the elderly because, you know, I tell people all the time, you know, life is, it's a vacation. God sent you on this planet for X amount of years, and, you know, you're born, and then you're a toddler and a teenager, and then you get married, and you have your family, and, you know, in your 40s and 15, you're soaring like an eagle, you're investing, you're doing really well, you're going on trips, and then in your 60s, Mr. Old Age start coming in. Knees are hurting, elbows are hurting, you can't bend down or fix your cable box, all kind of stuff, you know, and then old age is coming, right? Yeah. So there has to be other needs that people have besides transportation and food. What are some of the needs that they call out for?
I'm really passionate about this one. Just staying active. Stay active. We have a bone builders class. Classes that meet in several locations around the county. And that's run through our RSVP program, Retired Senior Volunteer Program. And these are all volunteer instructors. And they teach... It's an exercise class for people who can't really, you know,
exercise.
It's amazing what they can do. You know, after they come the first time and their joints hurt, you know, they can hardly raise their arms above their head. And after, you know, coming regularly for a few weeks, it's amazing how much you can do. And the key, that is the absolute key thing to prevent falls. Mm-hmm. And falls are the number one, you know, they'll destroy your life.
Yeah, one fall and you could end up in a bed in a nursing home.
So you want to stay strong, you want to stay flexible. And the key way to do that is just through regular exercise or activity. I like to call it activity.
So for our listeners who are just tuning in, we're speaking with the two lovely ladies, Allison Elmation, and Paula Schroeder from Aging Matters. And we're having a really lively discussion here on Viewpoint with Zita and Friends about growing old and actually the services offered when you get older here in Brevard. And I think a lot of people believe that, oh, I'm going to stay this age forever. How do we get more high school and middle school and grandchildren involved in this sort of service so that, of course, you could take them for a ride in the car if they're off from school. But how do you get more people to be more compassionate and have empathy towards those of us who are growing older and bolder and wiser?
You know, I think it goes back to being involved in your parents, your grandparents, and their lives. I think just really, you know, I grew up in a time that it wasn't an option. I donated time. I helped out with whatever things I can help out with. And generations change and times change and it's not the same. There's a lot of social media, and there's a lot of
video games
right now. So It's, I think we do work with different, you know, Bright Futures scholarships and things like that where they can volunteer their time. They do have to have an adult around and they have to kind of help out. But that's a good bonding relationship time too between you and your child, is to be able to deliver a route or take someone to the doctor's appointment and have your child be part of that Bright Futures scholarship and have your parent right there with them. And you have that opportunity to build a relationship with the senior who's in Brevard County and, you know, take that time to be able to enjoy the stories that they can
and they
tell.
Can be long-term.
Their stories are amazing.
They're amazing. Right. And they can be long-term friendships too and
yes.
relationships.
Yes.
So Paula, we only have like 5 minutes left of okay. this segment, and I wanted to ask you really quick. There are a lot of people that were blessed to have children. Some wanted children, some didn't want children, and some didn't get married or whatever,
right?
And they're alive and well, but they're growing old as well.
Yes.
So what do you, how does Age and Matters help those people who don't have any relatives around?
Well, one of the things that we do, of course, you know, with our services is there's always a person involved, mm-hmm. one way or another. Allie has case managers, and prior to the pandemic, I have to say that a lot of our home visits have been curtailed in the last year. Because of that, which is such a shame. It's just, there's nothing like, you know, that one-on-one. But we still have people that call and check up, you know, and see how they're doing. We always require our clients to have an emergency contact. I can't emphasize how important that is, that, you know, if it's a neighbor or, you know, somebody that you know from your church, is to have somebody that can check up on you.
Yeah, like but again, a buddy system.
Yeah.
Right.
So how has COVID-19 affected your senior programs that Asian Matters offers?
Well, one huge one is that not only do we have Meals on Wheels delivery, but we have a program called Seniors at Lunch, which was a congregate dining program. We had 12 sites around the county, and people who are able to get out of their homes could come to that site. You know, I'm thinking at Cocoa West Community Center. We had a big group of people that would come there every day for lunch, and that was their social gathering. They'd play bingo, they do crafts, you know, it's just a place to get together and chat and have a good meal. Well, we had to close those down in March of 2020.
Yeah.
And they've been closed. We're not sure when we're going to be able to reopen them again. So that is one thing that we really miss that's a direct result of COVID. They're still getting food because we can deliver frozen meals to that group of people. But they're really missing that social connection.
Yeah, that one-on-one connection for sure. Even like you said, Paula, with our case managers, we're trying to minimize the amount of exposure. But, you know, we still are doing telephone reassurance, checking on them, grocery shopping for as needed. So there isn't that one-on-one contact right away. So we're taking precautions and still connecting with the services.
And we have not missed one day of delivering meals. You know, providing
you're committed.
The home care.
Right. You know, when you have a purpose
and a passion
and you're committed to it, you know, you want to see it through. Because I worked in a COVID unit for 4 months and I was committed. And I mean, a lot of my family members, my friends, my children wanted me to quit, you know, but you don't do that. You don't cut and run when a pandemic happens, because the seniors, the elderly people, they need us. The disenfranchised, you know, the most vulnerable.
And
they need
I
us.
Was so impressed by our volunteers who had that very same attitude. They're not getting paid to do this, but they're like, well, of course I'm going to come and deliver.
Yeah, we're on the front lines in this war on COVID.
And we got them all t-shirts that say essential volunteer because they are.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Ladies, we have one more question for you before Paul wraps us up here. Where does your funding come from?
We get funding through the Older Americans Act, basically state and federal funding. We get a lot of matches, United Way, private pay, and of course our lovely donors that are out in the community. Yeah.
Most of it is federal funding through the Older Americans Act, which
thank
is,
God there's an Old American Act.
Yes.
Now I love the Old Americans.
1965.
So we have a couple of seconds left. Give us your phone number, the website, because I'm pretty sure, you know, people don't use the services right away.
No.
But if they have the information and it's valuable, they can put it in, write it someplace, maybe put it in their phone, call somebody and say, hey, in case you need this, this is the number and the website.
Right. So what you need to know first is the name of the organization is Aging Matters in Brevard. If you just even Googled Aging Matters.
It comes
right
up.
And then the general phone number that will get you to any of our programs is 321- 639-8770.
Yeah. And Allie, do you have any events online or in person that if somebody wanted to attend and learn more about Aging Matters in Brevard, maybe donate, maybe sign up to be a volunteer, tell our listeners where they can meet you all or come and get some brochures and things like that?
Absolutely. The best resource would just be going to www.agingmattersbrevard.org. And we've got a donate now button there. And there's all different resources and programs and services that we have available throughout.
Because of COVID, we've had to cancel all of our events.
Yeah.
We had a big fundraiser every April. You know, that's,
yeah, I have attended those. Yes. Yeah.
And then all the health fairs, we were at all of those. Nothing's been.
And before we go, because I see Paul's giving me the bye-bye, but what happens if a volunteer shows up at a home with a very bad dog, with animals?
Well, first of all, the clients are all told, if they have pets, they are told to keep them in a separate room. They will not, the volunteer will not deliver the meal if there's an animal that's threatening. And we've got lots of different scenarios that we go through with our volunteers because they need to stay safe. The biggest one now, because of COVID again, is we cannot allow them to go into the home at all.
Right. So you have like a training session for people who want to become a volunteer.
Yes.
And you sit down with them and go through all these scenarios with them, which I think is great.
Yeah.
Well, great. Well, so we'll pass the information along for Aging Matters of Brevard.
I'll leave this
with you too. And if somebody wanted to intern with Aging Matters of Brevard, you also take interns as well. Like if like what
yes,
Brooke
we do.
Was doing.
Absolutely.
And we want to give interns. A shout out to our friend Brooke Duritani Goldfarb for making it happen, possible for you guys to come on the show.
Right, absolutely. Thank you, Brooke.
Yes. Well, we'll be right back with the second segment of Viewpoint with Sita and Friends right here in sunny Cocoa, Florida.
18 brothers and sisters and founder of Simply Sita Skincare and these great sponsors. Cloud 9 Mattress and Furniture is a family-owned furniture dealer featuring the best and most affordable brands. They offer all servicing for free. Delivery, setup, and home, removal of old furniture, and warranty. Work with a reputable and experienced local business as they strive for excellence with their customers. Scotty's been in the mattress and furniture business for 32 years. You can shop online, call, or stop into the showroom to place an order. They are conveniently located inside the Merritt Square Mall and service all of Brevard County in Central Florida. Super savings sale happening now. That's Cloud 9 Mattress and Furniture, 321-459-2473. Visit them on the web at cloud9furniture.com. Again, 321-459-2473 for Cloud 9. Mattress and Furniture. When you need medical care and need it fast, MedFast Urgent Care is faster and less expensive than emergency rooms. MedFast is open 7 days a week, now with 13 locations, including one in Volusia County. With so many MedFast Urgent Care centers, there is a MedFast near you. MedFast offers top quality care that is close by, and the number is easy to remember. That is 321-MEDFAST. You just call 321-MEDFAST. No one wants to wait in an emergency room for hours and get even sicker when you get the high bill. What you want is medical care fast. That's why you call MEDFAST, where most patients are seen and treated in less than an hour. So when you need medical care fast, call 321-MEDFAST. MedFast. Located in Titusville, Florida, Dixie Crossroads has been serving great tasting seafood, char grilled steaks, prime rib, chicken, fresh salads, and their famous corn fritters for over 31 years. The menu features the very best local shrimp and fish from Port Canaveral and ranges from low cost sandwiches and baskets to high end seafood combos. Visit this Florida favorite at 1475 Garden Street in Titusville. That's Dixie Crossroads, 321-268-5000. 321-268-5000 or visit them on the web at dixiecrossroads.com. Champion Home Healthcare, keeping your loved one happy, healthy, and at home. Available at 321-306-2551. Once again, 321-306-2551. Champion Home Healthcare is ACHC accredited and licensed, Medicare certified, and a TRICARE provider. Champion Home Healthcare, 306-2551.
There's something special about the place we call home. It's the place we live our lives, spend time with family and friends, and make our own. At St. Francis Reflections Hospice, we consider it a privilege to care for you wherever your home may be. We put our hands, hearts, and skills into providing high-quality hospice care in your home. To learn more about how we reflect life, love, and compassion, visit www.reflectionslsc.org.
Jotkoff Financial Group is a certified public accounting and a registered investment advisory firm with over 30 years of productive relationships with clients. Jotkoff Financial Group can assist you in meeting your accounting, tax, and business consulting and financial planning and insurance needs without expanding your internal workforce. With three locations here in Florida, here in Brevard County, Broward County, and Nassau County. Contact Jotkoff Financial Group here in Brevard at 321-984-7345. Located at 1122 South Wickham Road in Melbourne, that's Jotkoff Financial Group. On the web, you'll find them at www.jotkoff, that's JOTKOFF.com. Call the professionals at Jotkoff Financial Group today.
Welcome back, dear listeners. This is Sita Begee on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends right here in sunny Cocoa, Florida. We sit here every Monday and we have fun on this entertaining, I should say, unscripted, very informative, and quite valuable show. We give out really great information so our listeners can go about their everyday life and plan ahead, whether it's getting involved in a nonprofit, buying a home, sending a child to college, learning how to save. We've had so many shows about social things of lately that people can just Google us and get information about almost everything. And Paul, they can listen to us online at WWBC.
Absolutely. That's 1510 or 1510, WWBC.com. And there's an app you can download as well or hear any of the other wonderful programming here. That's a WWBC. Be it in the App Store or in the Google Play Store.
That's right. And we have our friend Dr. Davis is here. And you know what? Your bio is quite extensive.
Oh,
but we
too
like
long.
Your radio voice. So we're going to let Dr. Anthony Davis introduce himself to our listeners on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends. And by the way, thank you for being such a great human. Because not only are you giving back to the United States post your jobs that you did with human trafficking and working in a pharmaceutical company and all that. But I noticed your social media feed as well. You always try to bring calm and reasoning to us.
I try.
Thank you for that.
I try. I appreciate it. Thank you. Thank you. Well, it's good to be here. Good to listen to everyone. The aging is right up there with them priorities because, you know, our elderly are so, you know, as I become that age, you know, I think about, you know, who's going to take care of me and what provisions are out there. But I've been, Sita, you know, we've worked together for a long time and working in ministry for over 20 years,
mm-hmm.
human trafficking, domestic violence, and other social issues. You know, I think that's where I've spent the majority of my life. And that's where my, you know, if you have a calling, that's my apostolic call, is really to work on women's issues as they pertain. And of course, with this pandemic and everything that's been out there, there's so many world issues and political issues that, you know, my mind is just overloaded at all times to trying to bring some reason to all this chaos.
Right. And it's very difficult, like, to sometimes separate the two because people would say, well, you know, it's something is too political. But sadly, from the minute you wake up to the minute you go to bed, it is about politics.
Yeah.
How many teachers in your children's school? How many kids in the classroom? Does our nursing home take Medicaid? Do you have a domestic violence shelter for a woman, especially now during pandemic? Does people have food? Do they have water? Do they have shelter? Do you have a clean lagoon? Everything. Sadly, the social issues are political issues as well.
Yeah.
So I thank you for you know, what you're doing. So we're all watching what the pandemic has done. And how has the pandemic affected you and what the work you're doing with your ministry here in Brevard?
You know, it shut down churches. And, of course, our church, No Limit, has closed its doors several years back because we began working in the community, especially with anti-human trafficking work. But it has really stopped us from doing what we're doing. We've had to make this transition over to Zoom and tried to understand how reaching someone Zoom, and you can really tell, you can get the information to people, but you don't have that human contact that you have. And unfortunately, with domestic violence and human trafficking and even other ministry issues, you know, with the pandemic closing things down, you don't really get the chance to touch people and to be as effective as you'd like to be. And that's a sad state because they're not going away. There's more human trafficking. There's more domestic violence. There's more people in ministry with this whole political aspect of what's going on. I mean, we're sitting around here looking at donkeys and elephants when it's about being human.
Right, right.
It has nothing to do with red or blue. And America being one of the youngest countries around, we always take the pedestal as we know what's going on, but we don't.
That's right.
We don't. We have to learn. Nothing started here in the United States. Everything was brought over by some means, and we've become a melting pot of places. But now we have this great political divide. And people are, you know, if you're Republican, if you're Democrat, you know, I'm tired of it.
Me too. You know, I said to somebody, I said, when you're born, I mean, my little grandson was born on January 1st, and no baby's born with a D or an R on their backside.
God ain't going to look at no donkey or elephant.
No.
You're Democratic
born
system,
and,
really?
And you have needs. You know, I think what you do and I do and all of us, it really is a gift because it took me a while to say, okay, I have a voice.
Mm-hmm.
And I have to be responsible with it. And freedom of speech comes with a responsibility, right?
It does.
But with that voice comes reasoning that, wait a minute, when you go to bed at night and you have food on the table, you have insurance, you have a means of paying your mortgage or your rent, why shouldn't everybody else?
Exactly.
Right? And that's when you say, well, it's not really political. It's that you care about people. You have to become an advocate for something.
Yeah.
So you've been such a big advocate for human trafficking and domestic violence. So tell our listeners a little bit about the work you've done with that.
Well, you know, for years in the early 2000s up until 2008 and 9, I was really spearheading a lot of efforts in my ministry with domestic violence and the effects that it was having, not only in the church, but just worldwide. You know, and as an advocate, I worked very closely with Carol Wick, who used to run the Harbor House, and really worked with her, you know, because one of my members was shot and killed by her husband. So I was thrust into this arena without any previous training or know what to do. And through time, I learned to understand the different aspects of domestic violence. And then when I met this gentleman named Tomas Lars, he began to introduce to me this understanding of human trafficking. And I saw the correlation between the two. And since then, you know, I've put a lot of what I do in ministry into that basket. Because, see, in ministry, you can be like a generalist. You can just, I did every Sunday and Wednesday, I brought a word, a message. By working specifically with human trafficking, I became a specialist in an area that, you know, I wasn't trying to go into handle everything. I just wanted to focus on specifically what's happening with our boys and girls and men and women who are being caught up in this thing called human trafficking. You know, the selling, the slave ship, and, you know, being a minority, I understand this whole aspect of slavery and what it's about. But to understand that we have more slaves now than we did then is a travesty. And for America to sit back, and we always thought this was a third world issue, but it's here in America. And
especially
taken,
in the hotel industry.
Exactly.
The hospitality industry. Oh, yeah. My gosh. We've had, I think it was Claire Ellis came on a few times.
Yeah,
to speak.
With Zonta.
You were at the Zonta Club, and we spoke about it. And you know what it is, too, talking about domestic violence? It used to be that with the schools, when the schools were closed, the children who were being abused at home would be seen in school. The school
right.
nurse would see the bruises.
Right.
But then when the pandemic hit, a lot of people were cooped up in the houses with their abusers.
Yeah.
They couldn't leave. So they said they had the escalation, I mean, of people getting beaten up. And
not only were they cooped up with them, the incidents, the frustration increased because of all the different things that were going on. People are losing their jobs. So, and people were not having any food or anything. So it was affecting everyone. And this affects everyone, no matter what economic background you come from, what social background, what ethnic background you come from. You know, when you deal with frustration in a situation like that, and then you have a world epidemic, it affects everybody. And you would think during this time that our folks in Washington, our leaders across the state, would then focus on the needs of the people as opposed to creating this big political divide that we had. And I don't mind saying it because it's enough of it. And I'm sick of what the churches have done in the sense that they sit back and they've fostered this idea of Christianity, but then stand behind someone who has immoral actions and immoral talk when we should be talking about love and what people need to make it. If this is America, if this is a melting pot, this is the place where people are supposed to come, we should be working together. Not apart.
Right. And we always said when the pandemic hit, you would think that people would reset, reevaluate, and do something constructive with their lives, right? Because COVID-19 showed all of us that the virus didn't care if you were black or white, if you were Indian, if you were Muslim, if you were Christian. It didn't discriminate against human life. It took everybody.
Everybody.
Right? Yeah. And then you had people in Washington, D.C. that made wearing a mask a political thing, getting a vaccine political. Dude, you didn't have to do that. Just be a human being and put yourself in somebody else's shoes.
Yeah.
Money don't buy happiness. What buys a happiness is knowing that your fellow human being have the same opportunity and chances you have in life to thrive. And you're right. I think too many of the politicians who get elected only care about re-election and pandering to their base.
That's it.
And that is one thing that I think not just the churches, but I notice other religious organizations as well did not speak up. And they're not going to speak up. Why do you think? What is their role in all of this?
You know, with social media, it's made it seem that if you have a varying or differing opinion that's outside of your political call or your political network, that you're an outcast or you're something. You know, as a representative that's elected by the people, If you're a Republican and you're sent to Washington, you still represent Democrats too, independents too, other people that don't do too. Just because you're a Republican doesn't mean that everything you do is conservative. You have to be for the people. Your philosophies or your ideas may be different, but then I'm expect grown white men or whoever's up there to sit down at a table and be able to come to some agreement, some understanding about what we're trying to do,
right,
as opposed to hiding behind their crests of Republican or Democrat. I don't care who you are.
Again, it goes back to the donkey and the elephant. So how does the church maintain its viability right now? Because we're watching, Dr. Davis, where the attendance is dropping. They said 50% in some areas.
I believe it.
Because young people, this Gen Z and millennials, they're not playing. They're looking at both sides and saying, you're all crazy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yes,
yeah.
They are.
You know?
Yeah, they are.
They're saying, wait a minute, you're telling me that you want somebody to carry a child for 9 months, and you love that baby in that woman's womb so much, but when the baby is born and you have a chance to vote for affordable housing, vote for quality education,
universal healthcare,
vote for the daddy and the mommy to have a proper job so that they could take care of that little baby that's in there, you're saying, wait a second, let me think about this.
Right.
So why'd you get involved in the first place?
Exactly. You know, and the viability of the church to me is essential. What I've seen is that, you know, first of all, when you foster an idea of religion and not relationship, it's not about you, it's not about your title, it's about love, it's about God, it's about loving your fellow man, it's about understanding why we're here. And when you get outside of that, then you get all these different like variations. You talk about the variant with the different, you know, with the pandemic that's wrong, you get variants in religion, you get all these people saying different things. Well, if we serve one God, and you can call them by different names, but one God, universal God, is there. We need to bring this back, and churches need to focus on relationship. These young people aren't buying religion.
No, they're not.
They're not buying this, I see what you're saying, but I also see what you're doing.
Mm. Right. Mm.
And they want to know what should sustain me, what is it? And it's the love of Christ, it's the love of mankind that keeps people together.
Well, words and action matter.
Words and action.
We were all seeing that, right?
This generation, big time. I'm a domestic violence survivor myself, so of a lot of respect, especially being the fact that you are an African-American, you know, minister. And in our cultures, a lot of times it was like, just be quiet and deal with it. Until
right.
I had this awakening and said, no, what's being done to me is wrong.
Right.
And if I don't stop it, nobody's going to stop it for me. So I appreciate, and literally you warm my heart with all the amazing work that you do here.
Thank you.
I do have a question that's a little outside of what we've been discussing here.
Okay.
With the focus as the police shootings, how do we deal with those around you? And how do you think George Floyd's verdict will bring any change?
You know, when 9/11 hit, everybody was so worried about America and we were American. The sad part about it, as time went on, we kind of got away from that. The George Floyd verdict will only mean something if it continues a dialogue, if it continues action. Again, if it starts where everybody's talk about, you know, defund the police or police reform, people need to stop getting caught up on words and listen to what people are saying. We're tired of seeing our young men shot and killed. It's a pervasive attitude that the justice that I see, if I see that I'm in trouble and I can shoot and kill you, that takes away. Why need a judge? Let's go back to the old West, you know, where you can be judge and jury. We have to find different ways. Unfortunately, and I'm a former law enforcement. I used to be a federal agent with the Air Force. So I understand this whole idea of shoot and don't shoot and no aspect of what you do and where you're taught to shoot, you know, total body mass. But we have to stop just quickly doing things. We have to find other ways to work. You know, we had talked earlier about, you know, community policing, these types of things that may be done or not done. But we've got to get back to understanding that communities are only viable if the people that are in them are able to get together, to live together, and to understand each other.
Right, just and respect. I wake up in the morning, and like my mother used to say your prayers, thank God for another day. Brush your teeth, comb your hair, put that coconut oil in your hair and skin, shine up.
That's right.
And go to work. You put that uniform on, but you shouldn't change as a human. That compassion and empathy and love for mankind that your parents instilled in you or your grandparents or somebody took it upon themselves to say, hey, you be good today.
Exactly.
When you get in that police car or you put on a surgical scrubs or whatever, you're not going to cut the wrong foot off because you didn't do the right thing. Right. But, I mean, you're right. People took that word defund the police and they they're saying take the resources and put it into the community of that woman who's pregnant, who will need a home for that child, who will need health insurance, whose husband may need to go back to school and learn a trade or go to college, learn to paint, learn to drive a semi, whatever it is. But take some of that money and put it into communities. What is it you want to serve? But what does protect and serve actually mean to you? Yeah. Dr. Davis.
You know, it means somewhat different than what I'm seeing. You know, we always say this, we came out of this Make America Great, but we forgot America didn't include Americans. It didn't include the people. It just was a slogan. You know, if you're going to make America great, what is America composed of? People. What are people? People who have hearts. We live and we breathe. We all want the same things. If we don't go back and try to change the mentality of people, if you don't go back and if you don't sit back and say, first of all, nobody here, I can't be Puerto Rican, I can't be white, you can't be black, but you can hear what I'm saying. You can understand, you can empathize what I'm saying, unless we're willing to all listen and realize we're different. But in the final analysis, God created people. He created man and woman. He didn't create all these different sects and all these different groups. And why does America think it's better than any other place, than any other country? Than any other. Why do we think we have the cap and everything? And when you talk about making America great, the only thing that made great was the billionaires. What about the common people?
And the immigrants that broke their backs to make this country.
You know what? Hey, black folks built Washington, D.C., but that's white folks running. I mean, let's be honest about it.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing. The minute you start having that conversation, somebody will push back. But, you know, I have that conversation with a lot of my Indian friends who will say, well, you know, I don't really see some friends... the racism because, you know, I have a house, I have a job, I'm a doctor, my wife is an engineer. And I said, well, wait a minute. You came to America on the backs of the black people that suffered. When you came through immigration, you didn't have that on your back of the slavery and the systemic racism. And, you know, you didn't come here looking for systemic changes for everybody. Right. You came looking for a change for yourself. So you're selfish.
Mm-hmm.
But when you start listening to people like I do now, I listen and I learn and I say, my God, thank you for giving me that knowledge. Then you say, but wait a minute. Yeah, you could come to America and go and put your glasses on and go into the library and study because you don't have to worry about your grandmother at home with hypertension and diabetes and no drugs.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. I hear what you're saying. You know, it's about all of us. After 9/11, we came together as a country.
As a country.
Yes, we did.
And we united, right?
Right.
So what happened since then? What happened to the word compromise, Dr. Davis? It seems as though people are not willing to compromise in their marriages anymore. They don't want to compromise with the neighbors. They don't want to compromise at work. And they certainly get elected into office. And we see a lot of politicians right here in Brevard posting things on social media that are divisive and spreading fear and hate. It's like, dude, you got elected for everybody.
Yeah. You know, the Bible says that out of the abundance of the heart that the mouth will speak. And when you listen to someone, you can see what's going on. Listen, when kids are born, they know nothing about racism. They know nothing about anything. So it's a learned behavior. So obviously what we're teaching, or what the adults are teaching their kids, allow them to grow up and foster these ideas of hatred and all these other things. And until we have a heart check in America, until people are willing to stand up, I mean, we don't have any great evangelical leader that's standing up, that's speaking for everybody, that's talking about love. We have a bunch of so-called red or blue politicians who claim to fame, or, you know, movie stars who claim to fame when they're not dealing with what's going on. We're human beings. When you look in the mirror, you see you and what you've brought, what you do, what you go through. I got four screws in my back. I'm in pain 24 hours a day, but that doesn't stop me from living. But it makes me appreciate life a little bit more. And with the pandemic, we saw people who have lost loved ones and were unable to see them. And if that doesn't shake us up as a nation, I don't know what will. So my suggestion is, we have to start small. What is your circle of influence? Who are the people that you mingle with? Who are the people that you talk to? If you can change those fear, the mentality in that circle, then we can begin to change things. It takes one chemical for a chain reaction. So it takes one person doing just what they can do to hopefully bring it. Because it's not going to happen in a larger sense. Because people are too defined and too into their, you know, we have sheriffs that are Republicans, but you serve the people. So I don't care whether you're Republican or Democrat. Law and order, protect and serve. I don't care about your opinion about what you think about people, because you've never walked in my shoes. You don't know what it's like to be a black man and to see the police. Our understanding is different from someone else. You see the videos where a black is stopped and they're worried about it. You see a video with a white and he's got a gun in his, and the police are like, we can work this out. We can make it better. I mean, there is a distinct difference, but we have to go back. Teach our young. Teach them about love. Teach them about getting along with everybody.
And respect.
And respect is the main thing. Respecting elders. I still, yes, sir. I got gray hair. This is black now, but there's gray underneath it. But I still, yes, ma'am, yes, sir. I still open the door for folks in stores and stuff, because that's what I was taught.
Right,
that's
right. Right. And somebody took the time to teach you that. So, how, you know, we see, like, people, we lost over 500,000 people in the United States.
Yeah, too many.
What do you say to the people, you know, as part of your ministry, about not being able to give that last iota of love?
Wow.
I mean, you know, people are still grieving because they didn't get that closure that they wanted from this pandemic that took their loved ones.
You know, we've been spoiled in the sense that we've been able to have the closure. But, you know, when people die for whatever reason, they're gone. We take for granted. We're here now. We're taking for granted that we're going to get home and that our loved ones will see us, that we'll be able to go in the driveway, we'll be able to kiss the people that we love. We don't know that. So the idea is not so much what you can do, is we have to appreciate life now. Appreciate people as if you're not going to see them again. Appreciate life again. And for those that have lost them, I would say this. That God that we serve, no matter who you are, where you are, loves you so much and love the person that you are with so much, that he will see to it that they are where they need to be. We need to get away from all of this, what's going on and what happened. Know that God loves us all and he sees it all. He doesn't like what's going on, but love outweighs everything. The Bible says that God is love. And so love is everything, because if you believe in him, you believe in love. And we have to learn again to just say, you know what? Man, I hurt because I've lost people and I don't know if I'm going to lose somebody again. So I'm going to do things like call them up and tell them, I'm sorry if I hurt you. I love you. I apologize. You know, these are the things that God would demand from us.
And forgiveness.
And come, because you know, the Bible says many will say in the last day, Lord, Lord, and he's going to say, who are you? I don't know who you are.
Yeah.
I don't want to be one of those that, you know, think that I'm going up and the elevator's going straight down.
You know, when I see you, when you say that, what I think about is, you know, a lot of people think like, oh, I'm busy, I'm raising my family, I'm working, and I'm flying all over the place, I'm doing stuff. When I get older, I'll give back to the church a little bit. But that's a wrong attitude.
Yeah.
God wants you to give back when you're young too.
Yeah.
And you have that health and strength and that wisdom to, like you say, you can't reach everybody overnight, but start small.
Start small.
So how do you strike up that conversation with somebody, especially in a time when people are saying we have systemic racism and the only way to fix that is with systemic changes? But, you know, I was speaking to somebody recently and they said, well, you know, the young men, when the police stops them, they should stop. That's it. Just stop. What do you say to somebody that says they should just stop?
You know what I tell them? You know what? They do. Most people do.
Right.
But they don't know what's coming up to the window. They don't know the attitude that person has on the badge. They don't know what day you went to. Same way with a young man or woman appear before a judge. You know, the sentencing guidelines may be probation, but if he feels bad, he can send him to jail. You know, there's power in positions, and you have to aspire. If you can't change it, then learn to become. We need to get back in school. We need to become educated. We need to make a difference. Don't complain about something if you're not out there doing something about it.
Right.
I hate people that sit back and they say, well, I don't hate people. I hate the things that people say, oh, I can't stand this, or I don't. Why don't those people do this? What people are you talking about, and what are you doing? What are you doing with foster kids? What are you doing with, like, a Moms Demand Action, you know, fighting against gun violence, or pushback at New Shiloh where they're trying to, Bishop Gordon is trying to bring the communities together? What are you doing? You know, at United Abolitionists, we're focusing on human trafficking and changing what we can one life at a time. One life at a time.
2 minutes. My goodness, I could talk to him for all day. So you know what? Give it 2 minutes. Really? Really, Paul? So give us your website, because what you're doing, your work, is an inspiration to motivate everyone to get out and vote. Get involved. Don't complain if you're not part of the solution. So give us your website if somebody wants to donate time, energy, money, or
okay,
give some effort.
One of my biggest efforts and way to get me is to go to stophumantrafficking.com. Stophumantrafficking.com. Or you can email me at anthony@stophumantrafficking.com. And I say go through that vehicle. That's where I'm putting my time and effort in right now. But you can also catch me through that, and we can work. I work on any other social issues that we're trying to. I am determined that we're going to make America better one life at a time.
For everybody.
For everybody.
And with the remaining 20 seconds of the vaccine, I'm in it. Great. So what is your 30-second sales pitch for those who are still wavering about taking the
vaccine? Folks eat food that come out of a can. They don't know what's inside. They eat meat that comes in a package. They don't know where the thing came from. I worked in the pharmaceutical industry for years. Take the vaccine. This is not something that they're trying to put in it. This is a messenger DNA that tells your body, get this when it comes into your body. And if you're one of those people who say, I'm not going to do it, then you know what? I don't wish anything upon you, but you're stopping the rest of us from living our lives the way we'd like to. Absolutely. We have to do this as a nation, as a country, as a world, because pandemics do not care about anybody.
Well, you know what? What a wonderful segment. We had Aging Matters on, and we had Paula and Allison. And we had Dr. Davis. And you know what? Ellen, when she comes back, she'll put all this on our website. I could talk. You three make me want to have a show for 2 hours.
Let's do it.
Hey, Paul, let's get some more sponsors. Because you know what? I'm tired of the people that like you said, that want to complain but don't do something about it. And then you meet three wonderful, awesome humans that are feeding the elderly, you know, listening to the people who are home alone and homebound, and people who are going out and actually giving information how to stop domestic violence,
yeah,
human trafficking, and be a good person, no matter what religion you are.
Be good.
That's it.
That's right.
Thank you, Paul.
The preceding program may not necessarily reflect the views of the staff or management of WWBC. You're listening to WWBC, COCO, Melbourne, Titusville, 1510 AM, as well as W234BI, COCO, Rockledge, and W264AS, Rockledge, Melbourne, and Palm Bay.